Hello, folks. It's good to be back with you again. Let's ask the Lord to anoint us for this morning's broadcast. Father God, this is a wonderful study on the love that you want us to exhibit. And I praise you, Father, to have. And I praise you, Father, for allowing this study to get right down to the our spirit, Lord, that this will get down into our spirit and we will walk in this love that Jesus had. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, I want to talk about love that's only skin deep. And today I'm going to cover one of the most talked about words in the New Testament, and that is love. John 13:34 says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Folks, we are commanded to love one another. And this love is the fruit of the Spirit, or the proof that we're disciples of Jesus Christ. And it ain't just going to church every Sunday. It's that love of God that flows from our heart to others. Do we have this kind of love in our hearts for each other? Or is it only a shallow love that's just skin deep? There are generally two types of love spoken about in our new covenant. And the first is the Greek word phileo. It means a brotherly love, to be a friend, to have affection for. And that's the most common type of love that we experience in this world. And it's an emotional love that occurs in almost every person to some degree. Whether they're saved or unsaved, the average person today readily has this phileo, this emotional type of love within them. And the other Greek word for love is agape. And sometimes agapeo, and this is a much rarer type of love that only comes from our Father in heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ. Agape or agapeo love is the love of Jesus shining forth from our heart. It's that divine love that's related to being obedient to God's word. John 14, verse 23 says, "Jesus answered him, 'If anyone loves,'" that's agape, "'loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love,'" agape, "'him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love,'" that's agape, "'who does not love me does not keep my words.'" Agapeo love is an action type of love which makes God's word come to life by acting on that word. It's an unconditional, self-sacrificing love that considers others before self. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love," that's agape, "as Christ also has loved," agapeo, "us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." Agape / agapeo love is love put into action. A love not just of words, but love put into action. It's a love that comes forth from your heart, even when a person has done something to hurt you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. Love, agape, suffers long and is kind. And love, agapeo, does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Agape / agapeo is that love that, excuse me, is that love that God had for us, even when we were still sinners and didn't deserve his love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love, agapeo, toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we can see that this type of agape love is much different than the phileo love that we may have for a friend. Phileo love is only that emotional, skin-deep love that when our friend hurts us deeply, we get upset or even break our friendship with them. Phileo love takes offense and stays offended for what the other person did or said. This is not the forgiving agape love that comes from God. It was only the phileo love, that emotional love that we could muster up as a human being in the flesh. It's that emotional love that's only skin deep. Now, it's not at all bad to have that emotional phileo love, type of love, because everyone who manifests that agape love also has this phileo love. But not everyone who has that emotional phileo love will manifest that agape love, which comes from God. As Christians, we must ask ourselves, are we manifesting the fruit of Jesus? You know, anybody can attend church or even read their Bibles, but not everybody has the fruit of love. God's love, which exudes from their innermost being and out toward others. In fact, we just spend some time around other Christians. We'll know by their actions, and we'll know by what comes out of their mouths if they truly have Jesus in them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "But concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." That's that agape love. And why are our actions so important? Well, it's because we'll be judged one day by our actions and not by the faith we thought we had. If you don't believe that you'll be judged by your actions instead of your faith, then let's see what Jesus said in his word. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. "But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or athirst and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me." 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not." Then shall they also answer, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungry or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these least, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." One group of believers not only had faith, but also showed the Lord's agape love and didn't even realize they were doing these things for Jesus. They just did unto others out of the pure agape love in their heart. They follow the golden rule in Romans 13:9, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These believers were manifesting the fruit of Jesus living in them, even being taught by God how to love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, but concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love, that's agape, one another. Yes, the true believer is taught by God to love, while the other group of people who are either non-believers or Christians in name only. And yeah, these Christians may have said they had faith, but they only had the emotional phileo type of love for others. They had no agape love that welcomed a stranger, no agape love that fed or clothed others. And they too didn't even realize that it was Jesus whom they had rejected by not showing that self-sacrificing love. James chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be you warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit? These goats had hidden their eyes and hidden their love from those who needed it most. They may have said with their mouth that they loved their neighbor, but the action proved otherwise. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, but whoso hath the world's goods and beholdeth his brother in need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? Yeah, the Bible says there's another requirement besides just believing in Jesus. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another even as he gave us commandment. These goats did not love themselves. They only said they loved their fellow man. They only had a love that went skin deep. These goats did not show that agape love of doing for their fellow man that which Christ requires in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Luke 6:46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Let's all let our love be manifested by our actions instead of just our words. If Jesus is truly our Lord and Master, this should we should all strive to do what Jesus commands us to do. Now, next I'm going to look at the reasons most people only have that skin-deep phileo type of love, and then we'll look at what it takes to have the agape love that God requires. Now, whether one is an unbeliever or just a Christian by name only, the unsaved or unregenerate man has no hope of manifesting the agape love of God. And the person who has never been born again and has never been given a new heart and a new spirit, they have no hope of ever being able to love like Jesus. And without God changing us and giving us that new heart, we have no hope of showing God's agape love. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 26, and I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, glory to God. And that's what happens when we become born again. God gives us a new heart and a new spirit. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ because he lives in us. And the only reason we have a hope of having God's love coming forth from us. Without that born again spirit of Jesus Christ living in us, we will have a very shallow love for others. We might even see those who call themselves Christians and those who say that they're saved or born again, but by their fruit, they'll prove they're really not saved. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. Matthew 7, 17 through 20. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, But the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And as Christians, do we have that good fruit growing on our tree? That self-sacrificing agape love? Or do we have the bad fruit of a very shallow self-serving love? You know, unforgiveness and bitterness is only going to manifest skin-deep love. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 39 says, But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil, but whosoever smiteth thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. A Christian who can truly forgive and turn the other cheek is showing that agape love by his actions. He's willing to take the evil coming against him and even turn the other cheek in order to get hurt again. That's what God does for us. He turns the other cheek even when we keep hurting him by our actions and our disobedience. God continues to give us opportunities to hurt him while we try and get this walk of holiness down. That's the type of love that we have to have for our fellow man. Instead of agape love, we see unforgiveness and bitterness from many that call themselves Christians. This unforgiveness and bitterness does not manifest God's agape love, but it manifests a love that's only skin deep. And we might hear people say, I forgave them, but by their fruit, they prove otherwise. Instead of turning the other cheek, they no longer talk or associate with that person who hurt them. Oh yeah, with their mouths, they confess they've forgiven that person, but by their actions, they confess the opposite. And you know what? God sees right through that false forgiveness. He sees that they won't associate nor speak to that person any longer. They say, oh, I do forgive them, but I don't forget. Well, that ain't how God forgives us. This is how our Heavenly Father forgives his children. Hebrews 8 and 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Man's type of love and forgiveness is not God's agape, agapeo love that's unconditional. God's love is that self-sacrificing love that considers others before themselves. And the person who says that they forgive and yet they still hold something against their neighbor has only a phileo love that's only skin deep. We must all examine ourselves to see what's in our hearts. And if we have someone who we no longer associate with, or we have someone who we no longer speak to because they've hurt us, we have unforgiveness in our heart and we don't have that agape love. That's something that's very serious, as only one unforgiven sin is going to keep us out of heaven. Jesus said if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. True forgiveness is proven by our actions and not our words. When we have truthfully forgiven another from our heart, we will agapeo love our enemies. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Truly loving someone who continually hurts you is not just saying you love and forgive them, but it's doing good to those who hate you, blessing those who curse you, and praying for those who abuse you. This is loving with our actions and not just with our words. This is God's love, and this is the agapeo love that he requires. If we have even a hint of unforgiveness in our hearts, it'll be impossible to manifest God's love towards others. And we have to prove, we must prove by our agape and agapeo love with our actions, which includes forgiveness. Otherwise, we're proving that we only have that human brotherly love that all men have. Even the vilest of men have this emotional skin deep phileo type of love for their friends. That's why Jesus says that many are called, that means invited, but few are chosen, that's elect. Matthew 22 and 14. The Apostle Paul shows us what the elect or chosen of God is going to look like. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love is the bond that makes us perfect in Christ, because if we're truly loving our neighbor as ourselves, then all these actions of mercy, kindness, humility, patience, and forgiveness, that'll come as your first as your first nature. And this will be your nature because you're taking on the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, name in Greek means nature or character of Jesus Christ, and that's love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, and does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. You know, most people who have trouble manifesting God's love are very self-oriented. They tend to think of themselves and seek their own interest above all others. And if you would talk to one of these self-serving individuals, they wouldn't even realize that they're so selfish. Serving themselves seems so natural that they're blinded by their own wants and needs. Whether emotional or physical, their desire is to serve their own personal interests. These selfish Christians even believe that they're keeping this command. Romans 13 and 9, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These people even think that they love their neighbor, but it's really only an emotional, skin-deep love. The agape love that God requires is this, Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 46. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and pray for them that persecute you, that ye may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Well, in other words, if this type of love is only felt and exercised toward our children, our family members, and friends who love us, what value is this to God? Don't even the worst of people love their own? It's easy to love those who love us, but what reward will God give us for that? If this selfishness describes you, then you must repent of your self-serving ways and start putting others before your own needs. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting others better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. This is true agape or agapeo. It's about that self-sacrificing love through your actions and putting others first. It's all about denying yourself and taking up our cross. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And as we die to ourselves, Christ starts to grow in us. His love then starts to shine more and more through us towards others. And what comes out of the heart manifests through our tongue. You know, as we progress in our understanding of what God's agape love really is, we must continually examine what's in our own heart. One can tell what's in his heart because it will manifest in his speech. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, the good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And we have to ask ourselves, what's coming out of my mouth when other believers are not listening? What's coming out of my mouth when we're only around our family or those closest to us? Is it the love of Jesus coming out of our mouth, or is it snapping and angry words? Yes, we can hide what's in our heart while we're in front of other Christians, but in front of those closest to us, that's when the real person comes out. Is it Jesus coming out of our mouth, or is it something other than Jesus? And what we'll find is that our tongue will control our whole body. As our tongue speaks, our whole body will follow. James chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "For in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also." Verse 3, "Now if we put the horses' bridles into their mouth, that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. 4, behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, whether the impulse of the steersman willeth. And so the tongue also is a little member and boasts its great thing. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire." And we can see how very small things control much larger things. A mouth bit controls the whole horse, the rudder of the whole ship. And of course, our tongue controls our entire body. It will either cause us to manifest Jesus or love to others, or our tongue will cause us to stumble. James chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. "And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue, which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beasts and birds, of creeping things and things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison." Verse 9. "Therewith we bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the likeness of God." Verse 10. "Out of the same mouth come forth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." And what often comes out of our mouth really shouldn't come out. But the natural man has no ability to control his tongue. It's only when Jesus truly lives in our heart that love will come out. We should look at our heart as a storehouse. The more of the Word of God we put into our heart, the more of the love of Jesus will fill our heart. The more of Jesus we have in us, the more Jesus begins to overflow out of our mouths and produce the fruit of love towards others. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good." Let's all strive to be an example to the believers in word, in manner of life, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 4 and 12. When I ask if we love God, there aren't many people who would say, "No, I don't love God." But the Bible is very clear on who it is that really loves God and who it is that doesn't. John 14 and 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Those who love Jesus will obey his commands. Remember, this agapeo love requires action. And that action is keeping God's word. Now contrast that with the emotional feel-good phileo love, where people say they love the Lord, but their actions and lack of obedience to his word prove otherwise. Examples of this would be the person who has a lot of emotional love for Jesus. They sing and they praise his name in church, and they have what seems to be a very big love for God, yet they refuse to completely obey his word. They say, Jesus loves me and will forgive me, even though they know better. They disobey his word anyway. This, my friends, is not loving God, and they're being deceived into thinking they love God when really they don't. John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believes on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Even worse, those who don't obey Jesus and his words will not see eternal life. Yes, those are hard words, but please don't get upset at me. I'm just repeating what Jesus told us in his word. Just like when Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Luke 6:46. Well, there's many Christians today that like to call Jesus their Savior, but they refuse to make him their Lord. They sure want the benefits of eternal life, but they still live life according to their standards instead of the Bible standards. And the one who they call their Lord and Savior asks why we call him our Lord and don't do or obey what he says. What are the things Jesus said? Well, here's just a few of the things he commanded us. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be ye merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Agapeo love obeys Jesus and doesn't just pretend to be merciful, but is merciful to others. And then, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. Luke 6:28. Agapeo love obeys Jesus by blessing and praying for those who mistreat him. It's love put into action, and it's what Jesus requires of those who call themselves by his name. That skin-deep love, that human emotional love, cannot obey this command because it is offended when someone they know and care for says something hurtful to them. Skin-deep phileo love gets upset and offended when it's treated unfairly by others. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he hath not seen. You know, folks, I'm afraid we live in a church age where easy grace and God loves you is the common teaching, and where holiness and obedience is left out of sermons. Not just because our churches don't preach obedience to God's word doesn't mean that God doesn't expect it from his children. John 14:21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. Over and over we see that according to Jesus. We only love him if we're keeping what's commanded in the word of God. Loving Jesus takes more than just saying we love Jesus or singing about how much we love him. That's only the humanistic, emotional love for Jesus, which anybody can do or say. Agape love takes action by the believer. John 14:23-24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keepeth not my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Well, as you're beginning to see, man's definition of love and God's definition are two different things. Man is easily deceived into thinking that he loves God by what he feels, when really he doesn't love God according to our Creator, because he's not obeying. And that's why the Bible says man is deceived into thinking he's on the right path, but in reality, it leads to eternal death. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end thereof are the ways of death. Now, we might remember from Scripture the man who, according to his understanding, thought he had made it into heaven, but soon found out that he couldn't enter in. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many is going to say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? And by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. No, not everyone who calls Jesus their Lord or says they know him as their Savior will enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's only those who do God's will and don't practice lawlessness or sin that's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And notice how the Bible explains exactly what it means to know him. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So to know him, we must keep his commands. We must walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. And if we keep his word, the agape love of God is perfected in us. Matthew 19 and 17. And he said unto them, why askest thou me concerning that which is good? One there is who is good. But if thou wouldest enter into life, keep the commandments. That's why forgiveness, turning the other cheek, and not returning evil for evil are all so important to God. If we can't obey Jesus by doing these little things, then we only have an emotional love for Jesus, because we only have a skin-deep emotional love for our fellow man. We don't have that real agapeo love that God requires. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 says, owe no man anything save to love one another. For he that loves his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. God tests us every day to see if we love him. Praise be to God. God does this by seeing if we'll obey him and his word. Look at 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which comes upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. But insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice, that at the revelation of his glory also ye may rejoice with exceeding joy. Well, when we have another person coming up against us, persecuting and saying untrue or bad things about us, that's a fiery ordeal in and of itself. And yet, when we're obeying the word of God and turning the other cheek, it seems even more painful. Matthew 5 and 39. But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil, but whosoever smiteth thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Well, it seems painful, because we're no longer defending ourselves, but we're entrusting ourselves to our Father, just like Jesus did. 1 Peter 2, 22 through 23, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know, Jesus forgave. He didn't threaten or revile others, and he kept his words pure. And I ask again, what's coming out of our mouths when we're facing our fiery trial? God has always tested his people to see if they would obey him. Exodus 16 and 4 says, Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. Those who bear the name of Christian today, are they any different than God's people back then? No. God still tests us every day in order to see if we really do agape love him by obeying him. Mark 11:25-26. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Each of us needs to ask the Lord if there is anyone in which we have bitterness against or anyone that we have not forgiven. Once we wait on the Lord to place those people in our mind, we got to act on those that come to mind and forgive those people from the heart. That's what's called agape love. Romans 12:20-21. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the divine nature of God shining through us. This is agape love. Luke 6:30. Give to everyone that asks thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Matthew 5:40. If any man will go to law with thee and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Can't God replace what others take from us? Yeah. Whether they steal our valuables or take them by the court system and by turning the other cheek and not fighting to get it back. Can't our Father, who owns everything in the world, replace those material goods for us? Can't the Lord give us back 7 times what was taken from us? Is not God looking for obedience in his people above all else? Luke 11:27. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus is looking for obedience and says that we are not blessed when we read or hear the word of God. We are blessed only when we keep it. Those that love God will keep his word, and by keeping God's word, they will love their fellow brothers and sisters, not in word, but in deed. John 15:12. My command is this. Love one another, even as I have loved you. 13. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. And you are my friends if you do what I command. Folks, we're tested every day to see if we'll love God and show that love for our fellow man. So how you doing? Deuteronomy 8:2 says this, And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. 16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. And just like our spiritual ancestors were tested, we too are tested every day in order for God to see what's in our hearts. So what is God finding in your hearts right now? He says we must decrease so Christ can increase. John 3:30. These were the words of John the Baptist as Jesus started his ministry. Now that we are believers in Jesus, we too must be of the same mindset as John if we want to manifest that self-sacrificing agape love of Christ. And the more of ourselves that live, the less we have of Jesus living in us. The more of us that lives, the less of that agape love that we'll have in us. And that's why Jesus continually commands us to lose our lives. Matthew 16:25. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And if we're still finding ourselves being self-centered, without much of that self-sacrificing agape love, it just means that we really haven't died to ourselves. Because 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That is just the kind of love we have for others. And as we decrease and Christ increases in our lives, this agape love starts to manifest in our lives. It's Christ living in us and through us. Luke 9:23. If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And in order to manifest the love of Christ in our lives, we must deny ourselves daily and take up our cross, crucifying our old nature, which is that old selfish and self-serving person. So we need to decrease while Jesus increases in us. The law of sowing and reaping. Doesn't each one of us want to be loved? Then if it's love we desire, then it's love we must first give to others. It's the law of sowing and reaping, and it cannot be broken. Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So what we are sowing in our lives, we're going to give back. So how can we expect God to forgive and provide for us, or in other words, show his agape love, when we are not sowing the same forgiveness or generosity to our fellow brothers and sisters? Remember that God's love is doing love, not just a saying love. What good would it be if our Heavenly Father said he loved us and let us starve to death? What good would it be if God said he loved us and never forgave our sin, sending us to hell? God's word cannot come back void, and his word is very specific. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Luke 6:38. So if we want to receive mercy from our Father in heaven, then we must be showing mercy to others. If we show judgment for others, we should expect judgment from God. Matthew 7:2-3. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Do we not deserve much worse than what we get from the Lord? Yet as we are merciful, the Lord is merciful with us. 1 Peter 4:7-8. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore of sound mind, and be sober unto prayer. And above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. Well, why will agape love cover a multitude of sins? Because as we overlook others' downfalls and their wrongdoing, God fails to see all of our imperfections. And as we overlook people's shortcomings and just love them, God does the same with us. So what we sow, that shall we reap. James 2:13. For judgment is without mercy to him that hath showed no mercy. Mercy glorieth against judgment. We may be tempted to look at those who have been successful in life, yet seem very selfish and self-centered, thinking that they are not reaping what they're sowing. These people are not filled with the agape love we've been talking about, yet they seem to be rewarded. Why does it seem to work for them? Why is it the law of sowing and reaping doesn't seem to apply to them? Or do they? Could it be that some are storing up for the wrath to come? Romans 2 and 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfish, ambitious, and don't obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Yep, many people are storing up for themselves judgment, and they're going to receive according to their deeds or lack thereof. And yet we must not look at our neighbor and what he might be storing up. Instead, we should be looking at ourselves to see if we too are selfishly ambitious and don't obey the truth. It could even happen that a person gives and gives and gives and always showing their sacrificial love for others, and yet they never seem appreciated. They never seem to receive that love back in return. So why doesn't God's law of sowing and reaping apply to them? Well, these servants should not even concern themselves with not being repaid, because God's word cannot be broken. And if they're not repaid here on earth, they'll be repaid in eternity. Matthew 5 and 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." They sowed their love bountifully, and they'll receive it back bountifully in eternity. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Well, in the meantime, God shows his bountiful love for these faithful servants by always taking care of them. And yet their real reward has been stored up in heaven, and Jesus is coming to give them their reward for what they sowed in this life. Revelation 22 and 12, "And behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his word," by his work. 1 Corinthians 16 and 14, "Let all that you do be done with love." That's agape love. Well, folks, I hope that this study has helped all of you to understand the difference between man's shallow love and God's self-sacrificing love. We are commanded as believers to love one another. 2 John 1, 5 through 6, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote to thee a new commandment, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we should walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, even as you heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it." So our instruction for life is to show our love by walking according to God's commandments. By following these commandments, we're going to naturally love one another. And here's what that agape love is going to look like. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 8. "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh no account of evil, not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. But now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. And the greatest of these is love." Well, so there we are, believers. We have our command and our marching order. So let's go forth and walk in love. God bless you. We'll see you next time, Lord willing.